Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
Church, how y'all feeling in the house this morning? Ah, come on, can we give God our highest praise this morning? Amen. He is worthy to be exalted. He is worthy to receive our praise. Can somebody shout hallelujah? Oh my God, they brought out the big pulpit today. Amen. All right, I don't know if this is like a joke on the short guy or something, you know what I'm saying? How y'all doing this morning? Hey, let's get uncomfortable real quick. Can you stand up to your feet? Stand up to your feet real quick. And take 10 seconds. Don't go all crazy now. Take 10 seconds. Move from your spot. Get uncomfortable a little bit. I know y'all, you know, the seat's already warmed up for you. It's okay. Just move around and say hi to at least three people. Tell them God bless you. Welcome to Pursuit Church. Tell them get ready for the Word of God. Amen. If you can, find somebody you do not know. Introduce yourself. Make somebody feel welcome this morning. Introduce yourself to somebody. How's it going? Good to see you. Good to see you. Good morning. Good morning. Good to see you. Y para los que hablan español, buenos días. Bienvenido a la iglesia Pursuit Church. Busque a alguien, salúdele, dele la bienvenida a la casa de Dios. Amen. I think I'm going to leave this here. That's fine. Okay. All right. Can y'all see me? No, for real. Can y'all see me? Okay. Awesome. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray, and let's dive into the Word of God today. I know God is going to speak, and I say that with 100%. Certainty, right? I know that God is going to speak because anytime we open up the Word of God, He's going to speak. It's the Word of God, the voice of God, right? So He's going to speak today, whether it's myself, Pastor Karen, Pastor Bob, whoever it is preaching up here, it's the Word of God, right? Now, here's the thing. It's not, in a way, I want to say this, right, with all due respect and also with the understanding that, you know, the Bible even teaches not to put amateurs to preach and lead. And we understand that, right? So I'm going somewhere with this. But whether it's myself, Pastor Bob, Pastor Karen, or anybody they choose to put behind this pulpit to preach the Word of God, we should always have a receptive heart. We should always be open to receive the Word of God because it's the Word of God that is being spoken, not so much focus on the person speaking it, but the actual Word that is being spoken. So this morning, let's pray. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to open up our hearts, that our hearts would be receptive and ready to receive the Word of God for what it is. It's the truth. And you know the phrase, right? The truth hurts sometimes. So we're going to pray this. We're going to pray for three things, that the Word of God today would come and convict us. You know what convict means? To get you to agree that what God is saying through His Word is true. And if you're wrong, you're wrong. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And we got to make adjustments. Convict means to convince, right? That the Word of God would come and convict us. That the Word of God would come and correct us. God corrects or disciplines those He loves. We love to hear, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you. Yeah, Jesus gonna spank you too sometimes. Because He's your dad, He loves you. That's what fathers do. That the Word of God would come and challenge us. To be everything that God has created us to be. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, God, for your word this morning. We thank you for your sweet presence that is in this place. God, we know that you are here. For where two or three are gathered in your name, God, you are there with them, Lord. So we know that you are here, God, in this time of praise and worship that we just had. We know that you are here. Father, we just pray that you continue to be with us as we study your word, God, that you would continue to minister to our hearts. And Father, that our hearts would be open and receptive to your word, that our minds would be focused, God. I pray right now, and we come against all distractions. We come against all the lies of the enemy. We come against all the schemes of the enemy right now against our minds, God, to distract us from listening and receiving your word, God. We come against that right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that our eyes would be fixed on you. Nothing else and no one else, God. It's not about the person who is behind this pulpit. It's all about you. Fix our eyes on you, Jesus, today. God, come with your word. Accomplish everything that it is sent out to do this morning. Come, convict us, correct us, and challenge us to become everything you've created us to be. God, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. One more time, put your hands together. Give God a praise in this room. Amen. If you have your Bibles with me, go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Amen. Romans chapter 5, and I know that some of y'all might be accustomed to having the scriptures here on the screen, and I totally dig that. I love it. But I was telling our tech guy today, say, hey, you know that little email I sent you with the verses? Yeah, we ain't going to use that today. Amen. It's funny, right? And I'm a true believer in that God is a God of order, right, and structure. And I believe in that. But I also believe that God is sovereign, right? And we can prepare all day and all night to preach a sermon. But if God tells you, nah, not that one today, you know, at the last minute. That's why I had to go tell him, say, hey, that little email, just trash it. So I'm going to go off the rails today a little bit. So y'all bear with me. Put your seatbelt on. Hang on and let's enjoy the ride, okay? Romans chapter 5, here we go. Romans chapter 5, we're going to read verses 1 through 11, and we're going to talk about this as we go. And here's the topic of what I'm going to be preaching on today for those who are taking notes. And if you're not, I want to encourage you too. And if you don't, God still loves you. It's okay. But if you are taking notes, if you're like me where I don't remember half the things that are being said, right? I talk to my wife, she'll tell you. You give me a list of three things, I'm going to forget four of them. The three that were on the list and still one from the last list before that one. I'm going to forget. So writing things down just helps us to remember later on, right? Because here's the thing about when somebody's preaching the word of God, we don't always understand and grasp 100% of it. It's just the way it is. You go to school, it's the same thing. You don't always get everything the first time, right? It's just, that's just the way our human mind wasn't designed, but because of sin has become like that. Let me make that clear, right? Because people might say, well, that's just the way our human mind is. No, that's the way it is now, but it wasn't intended that way. Okay, so here we go. If you're writing this down, I want to talk today about the benefits of justification. The benefits of justification. What's a benefit? A benefit is simply put something that you receive maybe as a reward for doing something, right? Or if you take a specific medication, there's benefits to that. If you eat a healthy diet, there's benefits to that. As you can tell, I'm not benefiting very much from that because I'm not doing it very well. You know what I'm saying? Moving on. If you go to the gym, there's benefits. There's results, right? So when we are justified, when we are made righteous or declared righteous by God, who is the ultimate judge, there's benefits to that justification. Romans 5, 1 through 11. Look at your name and tell them, hold on, here we go. Verse 1 says, therefore, somebody say, therefore. Therefore. I need y'all to preach with me this morning. Say, therefore. A good preacher, pastor, mentor of mine said this. He says, when the Bible says therefore, listen and figure out why it's there for. Because the Bible's about to say something important. You need to listen. It says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith. You know what it means to be made right in God's sight? It's justified. That's the word justification. To be justified means to be declared righteous or to be made right by God in his sight. And it says that it happens by faith. Somebody say, by faith. By faith. Listen, since we are now made righteous or justified in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God. We have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, has done for us. You see, we don't obtain the peace of God in our lives because of something we've done. We don't obtain the peace of God in our lives because of something we've said or anything we've accomplished. It is only by faith through the work that Jesus did for us on Calvary. Amazing song you were singing earlier about the blood. I was like, wow, it's an amazing song. I was like, vocally, I would never, ever dare sing that song. I was like, man, this guy's killing it. But just the words about the blood of Jesus that we're saved, we are justified because of the blood of Jesus that was shed on Calvary in our place. When I should have died on that cross, when you should have hung on that cross, he took your place and my place as a substitute, as the ultimate sacrifice. He shed his blood to pay a price that we could never pay. Why? Somebody say why. Oh, I love y'all's interest today. Oh, sounds amazing. You know why? So that we could be made right with God. So that we could be justified by God. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God. The Bible talks about God's peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding, all knowledge. You cannot comprehend it. You cannot obtain it. You cannot earn it. You cannot gain it for yourself. Now, the world offers peace, but it's not the peace that God offers you. The peace of God is eternal. It never fades. It never withers. If God is eternal, anything that stems from God is eternal. The peace of the world that the world offers comes and goes. You feel peaceful today. You feel good. Tomorrow is a totally different story. Scripture makes it very clear. Look, let me finish reading this. I'm sorry. We have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, has done for us. You see, the scripture's making it very clear that we are justified by faith, not by works, not by religion, not by Bible memorization, which is good. I encourage you to memorize scripture, internalize it, not only memorize it, but internalize it. It's good for you to do that, but it's not the memorization of the Bible that makes us right with God. Right. What did we share last week? Nicodemus knew the first five books of the Bible word for word. We struggle to remember what they're called. Genesis, Exodus, something, something. He could recite the first five books of the Bible, which is considered the law of Moses. They had to. Because they were teachers of the Word of God. Not only was Nicodemus a teacher of the Word of God, he was the professor of all the professors. All the teachers of that region would come to him to learn from him. That's how good he was. That's how much Bible he knew. And guess what? John 3, Jesus has a conversation with little Nick, Nicodemus. He says, hey, it's great that you know the Bible. It's great that you teach it. It's amazing. But you got to be saved. John 3:16. Listen to this. The heart of the Bible. Everything from Genesis to Revelation is centered around John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him will not die, but have everlasting life. That's the heart of the entire Bible. It's the heart of the whole work of God. That right there was given in a conversation with Nicodemus. A man who knew the Bible. A man who was at the temple 24/7. A man who tithed 90% when it's so hard for us to tithe 10%. This dude tithed 90% and he lived off of 10%. Talk about a charitable, generous person. And Jesus said very lovingly, he said, Nick, you're not saved, man. Got to be saved. Now, the Bible doesn't record it, but I believe Nicodemus got saved. I think so, man. Because then he asked, well, how? Well, you got to be born again. Well, how can I go into my mother's womb again and be reborn? And Jesus just begins to explain it to him. I choose to believe that Nicodemus got saved. Hey, when we get to heaven, prove me wrong. Scripture makes it clear that it's by faith, not by works.
not by religion, not by Bible memorization, not by church attendance. Church attendance is good, and it's actually commanded. The Bible says in Hebrews, do not forsake. It doesn't say if you want to. It doesn't say if you feel like it. It doesn't say anything. It's not an option. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. Do not forsake the assembling together. Oh, well, I just watch it online from home. That's great for when it's needed and for those who can't make it to the house. But if you can wake up your butt in the morning, get ready, throw some makeup on, you need to be in the house of God. Sorry. Do not forsake the assembling. You cannot assemble together by yourself at home. Going off the rails here, I told you. It is not by church attendance, although it's good and healthy for you. But justification only comes by faith in the work of Jesus Christ on Calvary. What is faith? Faith is trust. Faith is confidence. Well, I don't have that type of faith. Yes, you have faith. You sat on that chair this morning thinking it was going to hold you up. Some of us should have thought twice. Y'all can edit that part. You didn't inspect the chair. You didn't see if the weldings were good, the screws were put on right. You just sat down. You know what that is? Faith. Total confidence. Without you having to analyze it, think about it, figure it out, see how it works. We want to analyze God. Well, how does it work? How is one saved? How does this? Well, I don't know. I've never. You turn on the lights at home. If you paid the bill, they should turn on, right? But unless you're a master electrician or what are they called? Something like that. Yeah. You don't know how any of that works, how it's all wired and put together. I'm afraid of electricity. Like I've seen people literally blow their fingers. I'm like, I'm going to play piano. That ain't for me right there. My brother one time tried to fix a switch and the whole neighborhood went out. He blew the transformer outside, the light. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's a whole other story right there. But so where was I going with all this? Faith. Thank you. You have faith. The problem is where you place your faith. If your faith is in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says you are justified. That's right. You are made right with God. Well, you don't know what I've done in my past. There's no forgiveness for that or what's been done to me. I'm so bitter. Listen, if you can place your faith in Jesus, not analyze, not figure him out, none of that, because you can try all your life for all eternity and you will not figure God out. But if you can put all that aside and say, you know what, God, in spite of this or that, or I don't know, man, it's been hard for me to believe, or this has been done to me, or, you know, maybe you got church hurt and you're just like, man, I just wanted to step away from all that. If you can just place your faith in Jesus, the Word of God guarantees that you will be made right with God. So the first benefit of justification is that we now have peace with God. You have peace with God that the world cannot give and the world cannot take away. It's a peace with God that you didn't earn for yourself, so you can't even take it away. And this is important that we understand this today, church, because in the book of the letter that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, he teaches us that before we knew God, before we came to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, it says that we were enemies of God. We were all, somebody say all. We were all enemies of God. We rejected God. We wanted nothing to do with God. And I don't know if you're like me, but many times, even though I grew up in church, I heard the Word of God over and over and over again. But there was many times that I rejected it. There was many times that I was okay living religiously, going with the church flow. But I had to make a decision for myself to follow Christ. And I don't know if you've ever rejected the invitation to follow Jesus. Maybe you have. Maybe you still are. The Bible says, before we knew God, we were enemies of God. But now, somebody say, but now. Somebody say, but now. But now, because of the finished work of Jesus on Calvary, we are now at peace with God. When we were first enemies of God, now we become friends of God. The Bible says that Jesus told his disciples, not only do I call you my disciples, now I call you my friends. We were enemies of God, and because of the justification through Jesus Christ, he brings us out of that being enemies of God and makes us friends of God. C.S. Lewis said it this way: the Son of God became the enemy of God when the wrath of God was poured out on him because of our sins, when he bore our sins upon himself on the cross of Calvary. He became enemies of God, an enemy of God, so that the enemies of God could become sons of God. The Son of God became enemy of God, so that the enemies of God could now become friends with God. The second benefit that we receive through justification is unlimited favor with God. Unlimited favor with God. Verse 2 says this: because of our faith, because of our what? Faith. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place. What does that mean? That we weren't there to begin with. We weren't there first, but he brought us into that place, right? You can't bring me into a place where I am already present. So we were not in this place of favor. We were not in this place of peace with God. But he brings us into this place of undeserved privilege. You know what that is? That's grace. Somebody say grace. Grace. That is grace. The grace of God is the undeserved privilege. God gives us the privilege to be sons and daughters of God. God, through his Son, gives us the privilege to have peace, to have unlimited favor. It's not because we deserve it. It's not because we've earned it. It's not because we've done anything to receive it. It is simply given to us as a gift. You receive a gift. A gift is something you receive just because. When you, listen, When you spend, I'll just use Christmas for an example, or birthday parties, right? It's usually when you receive gifts, right? That was my birthday last week anyways. Where was I going? No, joking. You receive a gift, right? A gift is given to you by somebody who knows you, loves you, spends time with you, does life with you, right? Those are meaningful gifts because it comes from somebody. Right, that you love, that means something to you. And not that y'all don't all mean something to us. Y'all do. But y'all get my point, right? Yeah. A gift is given to you not because you purchased it, not because you shopped for it. You know, maybe you sent a little hint, right? A little link, an Amazon link, wish list. But they buy it for you because they love you.
Right.
And they're your friends, they're your family, they're your loved ones. Right? Or maybe at work because you had to. What is it called? The white elephant? Or what is it called? God gives us his grace. It's a gift. Because he loves us. Not because we've earned it. Not because we've done anything to purchase it. He gives it to us because he loves us. He doesn't give it to us because we loved him. Even when we hated him, even when we rejected him, even when we were enemies of God, he still poured out his grace upon us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Let's talk about this verse real quick, okay? It says Christ has brought us into this place. You see, because of Jesus, not only are we saved and born again. What does born again mean? To be born a second time. But like Jesus told Nicodemus, we're not talking about a physical birth. We're talking about a spiritual birth, right? The Bible clearly says that we were dead in our trespasses. We were dead in our sin, but Jesus Christ brings us back to life. That life is kind of like when you're being born, you have that life, you're being born into this world, right? Well, being born again is simply being born spiritually into the family of God. So because of Jesus, not only are we saved and born again, we now also have unlimited access to the grace of God. What does Hebrews say? Hebrews, I think it's chapter 4, verse 12, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says that we can come to his throne of grace boldly, not afraid, not embarrassed, not ashamed. We can come to the throne of grace, undeserved privilege. We can come to his throne boldly, not because of what we've done or who we are, but because of who he is and what he's already done for us over 2,000 years ago. So because of Jesus, not only are we saved, but we now have unlimited access to the grace of God. The Bible in that same verse says that when you come to his throne, you will find grace. If you study that verse, there's two times it says the word grace. The second time is talking about plural. It's a plural grace. Grace is, if we could say. So for any situation in life that you're going through, there's grace of God for that. If you're struggling with the loss of a loved one, there's grace upon you for that. If you're struggling with your health, there's grace of God upon you for that. You can come to his throne of grace and you will have unlimited access to his favor. Do you know what favor means? And I'm not talking about that third-party delivery app. Favor simply means, listen to this, this is deep. This is pro. Y'all wanted some profound word today? I'm going to give it to you right now. You know what favor means? God likes you. It is good. You know why? You know why? Say why. I don't even know. I don't know why God likes you. But he does. I don't know why he likes me, but he does. So good. That is the favor of God, that no matter what you do, what you say, no matter how many times we fail and make mistakes, guess what? God still likes you. Yeah. That is the favor of God. Look at this part. It says, where we now stand. Remember, Christ has brought us into this place where we now stand. See, this is talking about the position that we hold in Christ Jesus. We are not hoping that one day we will have favor with God. It says that we now have favor with God. Well, when we all get to heaven, everything will be perfect and we'll have favor and unlimited grace. No. That promise is for you now. That promise of grace and favor and mercy and love and blessings, it is for you now while you live here on earth. Because you are a child of God. You are a son. You are a daughter. And to you, he has given unlimited, undeserved privileges. This is talking about our identity in Christ. You know, the Bible teaches us that Christ has been placed at the right hand of the Father. But I believe it's in the book of Ephesians that it also says that those who believe in Christ are now in Christ. And the whole teaching about that, of being in Christ, means this, that whatever is true of Jesus is true of you. Was Jesus raised from the dead? Yes. And when you believe in him as your Lord and Savior, you are too also raised from the dead. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was given that position of being at the right hand of the Father. Because we are in Christ, whatever's true of him is true of you. You know what that means? That although your body is here on earth, your position is with Christ Jesus at the right hand of the Father. That's what this is talking about. Where we now stand. Well, when we get to heaven, we will be at the right hand of the Father with Jesus. No! Now! Look what it says. Because of your faith. Because he has brought you out of darkness into light. Because he has made you a friend. You now stand in that position. We are not hoping that one day we will have favor with God. It's talking about now. This is our identity. This is who we are in Christ Jesus. When you don't understand your identity, it's hard to walk in the person that God created you to be. I'll tell you this. If you leave this place today understanding your position in Christ, I'll tell you this. Your life will never be the same. You'll walk different. You'll talk different. Heck, you'll smell different. Because you'll want to take a shower now. Throw on some cologne because you know who you are. Our position does not change in spite of our mistakes. That one sentence right there is a word for somebody in this place. Your position in Christ Jesus does not change in spite of your mistakes. No matter what you've done, no matter what you've said, who you've been with, where you've been, all of that in the past 2 days. Maybe you've done some stuff where you think like, man, this is, even for yourself, you're thinking like, dang, that was pretty bad. Nothing. Somebody say nothing. Nothing. Nothing can change your position and your identity in Christ Jesus. Listen, if I start barking right now, that doesn't make me a dog. Right? Just because I acted like a dog doesn't change who I am. Just because you made a mistake doesn't change who you are. Because you are not defined by your mistakes. You are not defined by your errors, your faults, your flaws. That doesn't define you. There are things we do. We make mistakes all the time. But your identity and your position in Christ Jesus never changes. The next part of this verse says, we look forward to sharing God's glory. We look forward to sharing God's glory. I thought God never shared his glory with anybody. Is the Bible lying here? We look forward to sharing God's glory. See, yes, we will live in eternity with God in the future and share his glory. But the Apostle Paul is also saying that there are present benefits as well. God wants to share his glory with you. He wants to share his blessings with you. He wants to bless you exceedingly, abundantly, above anything you could ever imagine. Yes, when we all get to heaven, we will be blessed for all eternity. Yes, that's true. But there's also blessings for you here on earth. There's also grace and mercy for you here on earth. There are benefits of justification, not only when we get to heaven, but for you now here on earth. But you have to unlock them. Listen, our position or our identity in Christ does not change. We've established that. When God looks at the believer, any believers in this house, raise your hand. Amen. Everybody else, come to this altar right now. We're going to pray for you in the name of Jesus. Here we go. When God looks at the believer, he does not see your sinful nature. You know what the sinful nature is? It's that human tendency or that human, craving to do what is wrong. Lives inside of us. We are born with it because of our ancestors, Adam and Eve. When they disobeyed God, the sinful nature came to live inside of them. And it's what drives us to do what's wrong. It's what drives us to sin against God. That's what drove God to send his son Jesus. Look what it says. He doesn't see our sinful nature. He sees the very nature of his son, Jesus Christ. You see, when God looks at you, he doesn't see your flaws. He doesn't see your mistakes. It doesn't mean that he doesn't judge them. It doesn't mean that he doesn't correct them. It doesn't mean that he hasn't already provided a way out. He's already provided forgiveness. So it doesn't mean that God doesn't deal with sin. He already dealt with sin. So it's not like God sweeps it under the rug, like, you know, out of sight, out of mind. He dealt with sin because he's a righteous God. He's a righteous judge, and he has to pour out his wrath upon sin. But he didn't do it upon us. He poured it upon his own son, Jesus Christ. So when he sees you, he doesn't see you. He sees his son Jesus living inside of you. And his son is perfect and sinless. So I want you to understand that when you leave this place today, that no matter what you've done, what you've said, how many mistakes, how many times you failed time and time again, Christ or God the Father doesn't look at your sinful nature. He looks at the nature of his son, who is holy, righteous, and perfect. The third privilege that we receive through justification is the privilege of boasting. Isn't it bad to boast? Love does not boast. Exactly. You know what Paul said? If I boast in anything, I boast in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So if you're boasting about Jesus, like Pastor Bob said, it's okay. The privilege of boasting. Look here, verse 3. I'm going to end with this. We're on point number 3, and I have like 17 more left. Here we go. Just kidding. Point number 3, the privilege of boasting. Verse number 3. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials. Ah, Jesus. Not this verse again. We can rejoice when we run into problems and trials. Has anybody here ever run into problems and trials? Just 5 of us? My God. What are y'all doing to not have any problems, man? Have y'all seen that? What is that video? I want problems. Always. You haven't seen that on Instagram? Yeah. That seems like us. We have problems always, right? It says, but you can rejoice when your faith is in Jesus Christ. When you know where you stand in Christ Jesus. When you know who you are, your identity, your position. When you know you've been made right with God. Come what may, you can still rejoice because you know that you're going to make it to the other side. Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. We can rejoice when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. Nobody becomes a professional athlete without practicing hours and hours and hours, and they develop what? Stamina, endurance. They learn the game. They master the game. Blood, sweat, and tears, sleepless nights, early mornings, 2-a-days, 3-a-days. Non-stop for years after years after years. We see them on TV now. We're like, man, I wish I had that guy's bank account. Yeah? You do? Well, let's go to the beginning part of it. You know, I don't know if y'all ever heard of Marcos Witt. Really amazing Spanish worship leader, like, since the 1800s. No, I'm just kidding. He had just finished, I guess, one of his concerts or worship nights. And they had some people come backstage and meet him, meet and greet, all that nice stuff. And they would each get like a minute or two to talk to him. And there was a guy that was aspiring to be a worship leader. He said, hey, Marcos, can you pray for me that God would give me your anointing? He said, yeah, sure. He started praying for this young man. He said, God, every trial that I've gone through, every struggle that I face to be here. And the guy was like, He said, I want you to bring it upon him double. Because it produces endurance. And if it wasn't for those trials and those storms, I wouldn't be here today. So if you want this guy to go further than where I am, then it's got to come on him harder. The guy was like, oh, you know what? Never mind. Lord, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Look what it says. For we know that it helps us develop endurance. I want to just a little side note here. I want to be careful with what I say because I love the family of God. I love the church. I love the people, my culture. And you walk outside, not everything's perfect. The world's messed up. We know that. But you know why the church and the world is the way it is today? It's just no endurance. It's no endurance, man. You look at the older generation, you're like, man, how are they still here? What the heck? Like, what did y'all guys eat back then? My grandmother just passed away yesterday. She was 92 years old. 92! I mean, I would, God, just let me live to see 65 or 70. Like, God, people back in the day would live to be forever. But everything has changed. You see the people back in the day, it's like, man, they have so much endurance, perseverance, and storms come and storms go, and they're still standing, bro. Like, they don't give up. And nowadays, all of us, man, any little, not even the storm, the smell of the storm. You've been outside, and you're like, man, it smells like rain, like there's rain coming. You see the clouds coming, like, you're done. That's it, over. Like, Jesus, where's the, you know why? Because when trials and tribulation and test comes, we run. We run away from it. But what does the Bible say? When trials and tests come your way and storms and struggles and battles, it says you should rejoice. You know why? Because when you come out of that storm, look what I said, when you come out. When you come out, you're going to be stronger and better than you would have ever been. The word trial means tribulations. It means pressure, distress, affliction, stress. Is there anybody in this room that is feeling like that? To be honest. Or maybe you felt like that at some point. See, Paul isn't saying to rejoice when something goes terribly wrong. Like, hey, my grandma died. Yeah. No. I'm not rejoicing in the fact that we now lost her, which we know it's a gain in heaven. Might have lost her here, but we're going to see her again. She was a believer, man. She was a believer. And for the last couple years, she lived with my dad. And she was at every church service. With all her ups and downs and sicknesses and all that, she was there. And that's what I'm talking about, man. I was like, man, the church nowadays, you got to beg people to go to church. I don't want to go too far off the rails here, but back in the day, people held on to their faith, man. Like, that was their, in a way, their last hope. Like, I have to be at church. Like, I have to. I cannot afford to miss a Sunday. I cannot afford to not serve God. I cannot afford to not show up. Like, the older generations lived that way. Nowadays, it's like, are y'all going to stream it? Like, Jesus Christ. Paul isn't saying to rejoice when something goes terribly wrong. Or when you're going through problems. But he's saying this. You should rejoice because you trust in God. You should rejoice when you trust in God through those problems because they will develop character in you. They will develop character. Listen, my dad would tell me this, and maybe he stole this from somebody, but he would tell me this. He says, look, son, talent will get you to the top, but it's your character that's going to keep you there. See, a lot of people get to the top, famous, money, cars, you name it, they got it. Give them 6 months, a year. Why? Because there's no character. What did we talk about last week? When you build something, there has to be a strong foundation. Because you could build a beautiful building. It's millions of dollars. It's beautiful. It's famous and popular around the world. But without a foundation, give it one little storm. See what's going to happen. Talent and anointing will get you to the top. But it is your character that is going to keep you there. You know why? Because the higher you go, the rougher the wind is. That's for sure. And if you ever needed a strong foundation, if you ever needed a strong character, it's when you're facing those strong winds. Verse 4. I promise I'll be done in the next 3 hours. Jesus. Pastor Bob's here. I got to behave now. Verse 4. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. My God. When you allow God to develop His character in you, you will never doubt your salvation. There's too many people in the church that they don't know if I'm saved today. Am I not? Because I failed. I made a mistake. Look what it says. When you develop character, it's going to strengthen your confidence in the fact that you are saved. Now, it doesn't, Paul teaches us, it doesn't give us a license to go out and sin and live a sinful life, but it does give you the confidence that when you sin, not if you sin, but when you sin, you're still saved because you've already given your life to Christ. He's already forgiven you for your sins, past, present, future. But when you don't have no character, you live on a daily basis doubting your salvation. When you doubt your salvation, you're doubting your position, your identity. Endurance develops strength of character. This is saying that when you endure a trial and simply trust God, your character will begin to change. Your character will begin to develop. And as your character changes, you will begin to grow. That is what the Christian life is all about, growth. We should always be growing. What did we say last week? When you stop growing, you're dying. If your character is not being developed, then your character is dying. And when you have no character, you have no endurance. You have no perseverance. Now, one thing about growth is that it takes time. Somebody say time. Growth takes time. When you plant something, you shouldn't expect it to be fully bloomed tomorrow. Right? I have something to confess, guys. Yesterday I was cutting the grass at our house, and it was hot, by the way. And what I thought was a weed turned out to be one of my wife's plants. You know? And now that I think about it, like, man, it probably took her time to grow that. Sorry, babe, I'm sorry. Because nothing grows overnight. Unless you eat like 5 pizzas last night. And then in the morning it's going to be like, you know. Listen. It takes time. You might have to go through multiple seasons of trials. I know it's rough to hear this. You and I might have to go through multiple seasons of trials, tribulations, and tests. You know why? Because God believes in you so much. And He knows the potential that He has placed in you. He knows the talents, the gifts, the anointing. He knows the salvations and deliverances of other peoples that are attached to you. But He has to develop your character. So He knows what it's going to take to get you to where He wants you to be. So that now He could use your life to your fullest potential. These are benefits of justification. Character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. This is saying that when you begin to grow in your character, it brings hope. You know what that is? Hope is basically the expectation of something. See, every struggle or situation we go through in life is like a simulator. You know what a simulator is? It's like it gives you the feeling of the real thing, but it really isn't. Right? They do that for flight. What is it called? For pilots? Simulators. There's other things, right? Nowadays, I mean, technology is so, AI is so advanced. I mean, it's crazy, right? See, so everything that we go through here on earth, you have to take it as if it's like a simulator, right? God puts you under pressure so that you can see what it feels like. God puts you under pressure so that you can see what it feels like, so that you can learn and develop character, so when the real storm comes. Because the storm is coming. That was something we said last week, huh? The storm is coming. You see, a lot of the peace, listen, the peace that we talk about here is this. The peace is not the absence of problems. The peace is not the absence of a storm. The peace of God is your trust and confidence even in the midst of a storm. That's what real peace is about. So that's why I tell you the storm is coming. I'm not wishing it upon you. I'm not praying to God that He bring a storm upon your life. But I can tell you that it's coming. And every little trial and tribulation and that person that gets on your last nerve at work, that's God testing your character. Why? Because He has a bigger assignment for you. And if you're allowing that person to get on your nerves, imagine if He let you be in a position where you're supposed to minister to somebody who's going to get on your last freaking nerve. How are you going to respond? If you can't even treat this person right, how am I going to give you the assignment to go and treat that person? Are you going to talk to them like you talk to your coworker? So let me help you get over this right here. So then I can take you to your real assignment. That's what God is doing. He's bringing trials and tribulation and tests as a simulator so that you can develop character. Now God can use your life in a bigger way. Now God can use your life in a mightier way. How do you know if your faith is the real? I'm going to end with this. If I can get, where's Brandon? Brandon, come help me out, man. How do you know if your faith is real or it hasn't been tested? How do you sing songs of victory if you've never been in a battle? How can you say that you're more than a conqueror if you've never been defeated? See, God is saying that now you can boast. Now you can boast. Now, when you haven't gone through the battle, you can't boast of nothing. When you haven't faced some enemies, when you don't have any battle scars on you, you have nothing to boast about. It's kind of like people who don't have kids have all the advice on how to treat kids, how to raise kids. I'm like, boy. When you got a wife and two kids and a mortgage and a car payment and car insurance is horrible. Now, I hate car insurance, man. That's the devil, you know. Man, I rebuke that lying devil right now. So listen, when you have all that going on for you, then come talk to me. Because you don't have any battle scars on you yet. That's how we are sometimes. Sometimes we come to church and we try to tell everybody how to do their job and how to serve and how to sing and how to do this. Oh, the thing's late. This didn't come on. The video didn't play. Then you go try it. Right? Oh, no, I don't know. Well, then shut up. This might be my last time preaching today. I don't know. But I'm going to say it. Then don't talk. Don't talk. If you don't got no battle scars on, now, a person who's been through the fire. Okay, let's talk. Come here real quick. I need some advice, man, because I'm going through it right now. God is saying that now you can boast because you know that He has always been with you through the storm, And he has always helped you get through it. Verse 5, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. This hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. You know what that means? When you have the expectancy that God is in control, when you have that hope, that assurance that God is in control and he's going to work things out, you will not be disappointed. You know why? Because God never fails. Never. He never has failed before. Because he does not change, he will never fail. That's why you never have to be disappointed. When your confidence is in the fact that God is sovereign and he is in control. Can I pray with y'all today? There are benefits that God wants to give you through justification. Justification, just to go back, simply means to be made right with God. And the only way that you can be made right with God is by accepting his son Jesus. That's the only way. It is his blood that forgives us. It's the cross of Calvary and our faith and that work that justifies us and makes us right with God. You cannot enjoy the peace of God, and you cannot enjoy the unlimited access to his favor and undeserved privileges if you don't know him. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've never been justified. It's like, hey, if you take this supplement, there's benefits to it, right? You're going to feel better. You're going to feel stronger. And then you just have the bottle there on your counter every morning. And you wake up with that expectancy and that hope that, man, I'm going to feel better today. I'm going to feel like my living my best life. But you never take the darn supplement. It's not going to work. You want to enjoy the benefits of justification, then you need to be justified. It's very simple. So I want to open this altar to anybody who today wants to give their life to Jesus. And I say this all the time, and if you've heard me preach before, you're probably sick of me saying this, but I'm going to say it again. Because if you're saved, then this message wasn't even for you then. Because you've already been justified. I just pray you walk in it. That's all. But for those who have not yet accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, this is for you now. This altar is open. If you want to come over here and pray with me, I'm going to do the same thing I did last week, and I hope, hopefully my knees don't fail me this time. I don't ever stand on this platform to preach to you, get after you and tell you what you got to do, and you better get right with God, girl. We all need to get right with God, man. I need his justification just as anybody else in this room. So I don't want you to be afraid or embarrassed to come up here to the front and be just pray with me. I'm here already. I'm the first one to say, you know what? I need prayer. I needed this word as much as anybody else in this room did. And when I've lost sight or track of the benefits of justification and my identity and my purpose and my calling and my position in Christ, it's the word of God that brings me back on track. It's the word of God that sets me right again. So I'll be the first one to stand. Anybody who wants to come and pray with me can come right now and pray with me here. Everybody else, I mean, you can sit, you can stand, you can kneel, you can pray right there where you're at. God is just as much here as he is there, but I'm going to say this. It's your faith that moves the power of God. It's your faith that moves the hands of God. And coming to this altar is simply an act of faith. It doesn't mean that God loves you more or less if you do or don't. No. God still loves you, and He can justify you and make you right, right there where you're at in your chair. But if you want to step out in faith and just make a public declaration of faith, that's what I'm encouraging and challenging you to do today. But I don't want you to feel bad that God loves you any less because you didn't come up here. No. He still loves you. Apostle Paul said there's nothing that could ever separate you from the love of God. That's all this is. Just the call of faith. Faith in action. That's all it is. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your word today, God. Father, you see every person that is up here in the front, those who are in this room. You see every heart, every mind. You know every need. Father, I'm just praying right now for those who are stepping out in faith and saying, you know what? I need justification today. I need to be made right with God today. Father, I pray that you would honor their faith. Father, I pray, God, that you would cleanse them, wash them with your precious blood from all iniquity, from all sins. Father, that you would justify them today so that they can begin to walk out and live out the benefits of justification. Everybody who's here in the front, if you can, or anybody who's in their seat that you still want to respond to this call, you want to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior today. If you can just say this out loud with me, and those who are already saved, those who have already been justified and made right with God, would you say it out loud with us so that we can encourage those so they don't feel left out, they don't feel by themselves, alone, embarrassed. We're all going to say this together. Say these words with me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. And I'm lost without you. Please forgive me for all of my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. Make me right with you today. In Jesus' name. Amen.